Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
Well, welcome again. Pastor asked me to speak this evening and share a few things, and he had given a suggestion to me, something that I had done a long time ago, but I did a few modifications to it, and so we're going to try it out tonight in the form it's in now. I call this, What is Your Concept of God? What is your concept of God? What's one of the characteristics of children? They have an insatiable appetite to learn, right? Young kids, especially, all kinds of questions, especially if they are encouraged to do so. Questions, always questions. Questions that sometimes drive us to distraction when we forget. They're really just learning and trying to learn and really not trying to aggravate us. It's just that sometimes we're busy as adults or we have things that we need to do. And the constant questions, for those of you who have children, you know, for those of you who will, you will find out. You will find out. But tonight I'd just like to ask a few questions myself, especially in light of all we've been going through the last couple of years here in our country and in our church. I'd like to take a little time and ask a few questions. Now, I'm not a preacher, but I have taught a little Sunday school over the last 35, 40 years, off and on. The churches God has graciously allowed me to be a part of. And I've found that when I ask questions, I learn as much as the students. It often causes me to stop and answer the questions for myself. So as I ask these questions tonight, please remember, I'm asking them as much to myself as to any of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Father, you've been so gracious to us. Father, we're having struggles in our nation, especially right now. Horrible things have been happening. And Father, we know you're still in charge, that no matter what, ultimately, you will be in charge and you will one day make everything right. And we are so thankful for that. We're thankful for a Savior who loved us enough to die for us. What a horrendous method of execution that was used on him. But we ask your blessings now as we go through these few thoughts tonight. May your will be accomplished in our hearts and minds. In the Savior's name, amen. So first question, how big is your God? How big is your God? Tonight I'm not asking how big is God, right? I'm really asking how big is your God? How big is my God? I asked the church this question one Sunday morning back when we began to reestablish a renewed focus on building this building, acquiring this property, and building this building. And so I established a new focus on this. I was basically asking, do you believe God can do what needs to be done to move forward with a new building? We were in that little building down the hill off the side road there that used to be an old lumber yard. That's what that building was. It was a couple of buildings that we used, one for a nursery and little kids and one for the preaching and the classes and stuff, but it was really an old lumber yard. And we slowly filled that up, and God graciously gave funds that allowed us to finally build this building. But it took a lot of faith. It took a lot of encouragement to think, can we move forward with a new building? And the original set of questions that I asked were actually put up on the bulletin board in the foyer as a reminder to us each Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever time we were there in that building. That set of questions was there that we could then read and remind ourselves, do we have a God that can do this? Do we have a God that can do this? Well, Pastor asked me to speak while he was away again and suggested that I expand on that question a little more. And so I attempted to do just that, but it took me on a different direction than where I had expected to go, and probably from where he expected me to go. And so hang on for the ride and let's see what I end up saying. Because, you know, sometimes when I speak, I don't even know what I'm going to say ahead of time. My wife will tell you that's true. She puts up with me, though. First, I'd like to read some passages of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, open up. It'll be real easy to find. Genesis 1:1. We're going to start there. I'm going to read a few verses. Genesis 1, the first three verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then look at verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Drop down three more verses to verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Kind of like those cherries and apple trees we have in our little orchard. The seed is inside it as it grows each year, and you have to be careful what you're chewing on when you're eating them. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then look at chapter 2:1-2. Thus the heavens were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And then verse 7 finally. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. What have we just seen God do here in these verses? Demonstrate his awesome power, right? Create a universe out of nothing except his very creative imagination. They call that ex nihilo. He flung galaxies out into space that would take us many light years to reach if we had the capability to be able to go out there and see them thousands of light years away in a vast universe. And then in verse 7 of chapter 2, breathe life into the very first man and have him become a living soul. Formed him out of the dust of the ground, created all the intricate parts. And the more I learn about the human body, especially as they work on mine to try to put it back together sometimes with the different issues I've had the last few years, and how all of that healing works, and the genetics and everything, I struggle to fully understand, but God created it in just 7 days. Well, 6 days, then he rested, right? It didn't happen over millions or billions of years. It wasn't an explosion that created something that began to have life. And no, God and God said. He spoke it into existence out of what? Nothing. So I don't feel the great need to discuss how big, how powerful, how great our God is, so much as if you believe the Bible in a literal word-for-word history lesson, I don't have to convince you of God's power or ability or might. But I do want to ask one thing. How big is your God? How big is my God? What is your everyday working concept of who God is? God is as powerful, as glorious, as majestic, as awe-inspiring as you or as I acknowledge him to be. Think about that. Not only what is your everyday working concept of who God is, but what is your role, what is my role in relationship to him? He created us for a reason. What an awesome thought. God created you specifically the way you are, internally, emotionally, intellectually, physically, for a reason, because he has a plan for each one of us. Let's ask a few more questions to sort of flesh these thoughts out. And please remember, I am just asking some questions here, some questions that I have had to visit and revisit in my lifetime over the years as a young man, a husband, a father. Now a grandfather too, scares even me and Nana, 19. We have the privilege of affecting 19 new lives in the next generation. And as a senior IT executive at one of the premier public services firms in the world, God allowed me to be a part of a number of amazing things. And sometimes I fail to realize just what God has done. Not me, but what God has done. What is your role? What is my role in relationship to our awesome God? So, second question. Is he big enough to trust with your future? You have a future. It may be a day long. Charlie Kirk's last week was, that was it. It may be a week long, a month, a year, a decade. If the Lord tarries, maybe you've got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 decades to go, right? But do you consult him about the direction your life should take? Do you consult him about the priorities of your family? In the spring of 1988, it became rather obvious to me that I needed to make a significant job change. I was working at a real nice company up in Connecticut, but things were changing there, and it was time to move on. I'd grown a lot there. I'd had been given some awesome privileges and responsibilities, but it was time to move on. But how should I go about it in a way that honored God and, in fact, used His plan, not mine? His plan, not mine. So often in life, I want to use my plan. It's my human nature. So is He big enough to trust with not just your future, but with your family? This becomes important as the serious things in life are sometimes worked out, not just in your life, but in your family members' lives. It's not just you you're affecting. It's not just your future you're affecting. It's all of those around you. This is especially important as they grow up and move out on their own. Daughter number one, prime example. She's 49 now. A few years ago, I received a call from my daughter who wanted to move to Casablanca, Morocco, because she'd been invited to be a teacher there. She had her master's from University of Bordeaux in France, very fluent in French, and she was begged to come over there and help out with their school, George Washington Academy. What kind of a country is Casablanca? It's a Muslim country, isn't it? Are the ladies always well-treated in some of the Muslim countries? What you know of it? Not really. Some of them, yes. Many of them, no. So she was single, attractive, invited to a Muslim country. Could I trust him to care for her? I had some real struggles with that one. I really did. And we prayed, and finally I said, okay, God, I don't know why, but you have this plan. And I prayed her through, and she had the awesome privilege of going and becoming a very part of that school and doing a number of things there while she lived there. Daughter number two, I got a call from that daughter one weekend, and she asked me to sit down and began describing a situation that was eerily similar to how her mother had lost her life. And she wanted me to hear it from her and not someone else. Yes, she's fine. But there was a moment when she too was staring death in the face, and God was gracious. So we don't know what we're going to be dealing with in life, whether it's our own selves or those very special to us. Is He big enough to trust with your worries? Not only your future and your family, but your worries. Do you trust Him with your worries? Do you have worries? We all do at times, don't we? Yep. Some of us are very good at cultivating worries. We'll let that one go. Maybe a better question is, should you be worrying? Or should you give every worry to Him? It's not usually easy to do, is it? Those worries come and we stew over them and we struggle with them. But God knows all about them. God knows all about these things. Is He big enough to trust with your career? Do you discuss it with Him? Do you consider His thoughts about your career moves? I had to really consider them when I made the move here to New Jersey from Connecticut. When we came to New Jersey, I had a real struggle. Do I go? Do I stay in Connecticut? I loved New England. I was born there. I had spent most of my life there up until that time, except for a short time in upstate New York. My pastor there, Pastor Gary Jones, he counseled me a bit, and he shared how he had come from where he lived in western New York to Connecticut to be the pastor of our church there. He said, pray. Read the word, then get a verse. Get a verse from God and hang on to it. When you're sure that God has given you a verse to direct your way, hang on to it and then move forward. And that's what I did. Well, is he big enough to trust with your health? Some of us have been going through a few health issues from time to time, and some of us are going through a few serious health issues now. We have a number of members in our church and others dealing with strokes, cancer, accidents, a number of things. Can you trust God with them? Do we believe that he knows, that he cares, that he understands, that he has a plan that maybe we cannot comprehend now as he allows these things in our life? Because remember, he's allowing them. You mean God allows these things and he does not always heal? Think about that. Yes, he allows them, but he says, as he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And he gives you the grace you need when you need it. This was never more clearly demonstrated than at the time of my wife Allison's death. Or little Wesley's death just a few short years ago here in this church, the Gilmore's little boy, when he died. A lot of heartbreak. Is he big enough to trust with your finances? Whoa, one question too many? Close to home? Do you ask him about the priorities of income dispersal, about bills and savings and investments and tithing? A little something for vacation or special occasion. Do you actually tithe and trust him to take care of everything else that is a priority? No one who actually tithes will tell you, it wasn't no one or no family, will tell you that it was an easy thing to begin or an easy thing to continue, usually. What they will tell you is that God has blessed and they are so glad that they did it and maintained it. I remember the challenge when I was a teenager. I was listening to a radio preacher, and he challenged us, even at a young age, to start tithing. If you make a buck, at least 10 cents belongs to the Lord. Because that was the standard tithe, 10%. You make $1,000, he lets you keep 900, right? If you tithe. What they will tell you is God has blessed and they are glad that they did it and maintained it. Another question, is he big enough to trust with your most intimate secrets? There are things in our lives that we share with only a very special few, maybe only a spouse, or maybe with no one at all. Do you share them with him? Think about that. Kind of a silly question, isn't it? Do I need to share that with him? He already knows all about it, doesn't he? You know, I never once ever told God anything and had him say, Jack, you're kidding me. I never knew that. No, he doesn't do that. Or, wow, you're joking. He already knows all about it, doesn't he? God knows. God knows us so intimately, even far more than our spouses know us or our parents know us as we're growing. If there are problems, are you letting him help you resolve them? Are you giving them to him and not taking them back? That's a temptation sometimes. What's a sacrifice? What did they do with a sacrifice? They put it on the altar, right? And they left it there. And it was consumed. Something you put on the altar stays there. Your problems should be like that too. Give them to him and trust him to resolve them. This is another one of those things. Easy to do? No, it's not. because we're human. Don't keep taking them back trying to solve them yourselves. This is so hard to do, especially for us men. We do things. We like to fix things. Every once in a while, my wife says to me, I appreciate so much the fact that you fix things. Usually. I try. You have a desire to fix things. Is he big enough to trust with your most difficult tasks? Some of us are asked to carry some fairly heavy burdens, and some of them we get a choice in, and some of them are assigned to us in one way or another. And what does he say about them in Matthew 11, 28 to 30? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Isn't it great when there's a rest in your soul? When you come to the end of a struggle or a test. Right now, about now, right about now, you may be thinking, but Jack, this is all well and good, but how do I do all that? How do I do all these things you're talking about? Well, let's go back to the original question. How big is your God? How big is my God? What is your everyday working concept of who God is? God is as powerful, as glorious, as majestic, as awe-inspiring as you, as I, acknowledge him or believe him to be. If you don't think he's so great, if you don't think he's so powerful, if you don't think he cares about you, you might not find a good response from him. He trusts you to believe in him, to ask him, to trust him. Not only what is your everyday working concept of who God is, but what is your role or my role in relationship to him? You know, I think God has provided an answer for us in the example of marriage. And I tread very carefully here in bringing this up. My wife may even say, are you sure you want to take the position of marriage expert here? Trust me, I'm not. And she knows I should not. But here we go anyway. I think God has been so gracious to us. Christ spoke of his relationship to the church as a relationship of his bride. He is the groom, we are the bride. Think about the marriage relationship here. How did it come about? How is it maintained? I remember when Heather and I first met, it was on a Sunday evening, September 7, 1997. At a church back up in Connecticut that I used to attend, that her family was now attending. She remembers also, although some of her memories are slightly different from mine, you know, one of those man versus woman things, I guess. But I do have memories of that night, some special ones. Anyway, we met, got better acquainted over time, ultimately desired to know more about each other, and trusted each other with our fragile hearts. I believe we love each other more today than the day we were married. For me, that's been easy. For her, that may have been a little tough, but I believe that's the case. I really do. You've become a Christian. You've trusted Christ with your eternity, with your very soul. But are you in love with him? Do you have a great desire for him? Right? He loves you like it's so difficult to believe. Have you fallen in love with Jesus Christ, the altogether lovely one? you will do whatever it takes to respond to the one you love more than life itself. You will do whatever it takes for your child who has a need and a struggle and a problem. You'll do whatever it takes to meet your spouse's needs if you really love him or her. So, key question, if everything was taken away from you that you possess, family members, material things, prestige, position, health, little hint for men especially, think job, right? To provide for your family, all you had left was Christ. Would that be enough? Would that be enough? Something to think about. Are you really in love with your Heavenly Father in the person of Jesus Christ, and do you desire him above all else? Now, you may be thinking, Jack, you know, you're going a little radical here. Get things in perspective, bud. You're losing it a little bit. No, because if he is the priority in your life, everything else will fall into place. He will help you sort out all the other priorities and difficulties and burdens in your life when you stop and take time to check with him. It's hard not to run ahead of him. It's hard not to become so bogged down in what we're dealing with day by day, week by week, month by month, job by job, whatever it is, child by child. He will be as big as you allow him to be in your life. He will be as powerful as you allow him to be in your life. He will be as close as you allow him to be in your life. He will be as thrilling as you allow him to be in your life. And he will be as big as you allow him to be in your life. You did not get saved and then immediately become a joy-filled, spirit-filled, mature Christian, did you? None of us did. God allows circumstances in your life to frustrate you, to annoy you, to discourage you, even deeply wound you in order to mature you and make you what he wants you to be, what he knows you can be, what maybe you're not quite so sure you can be. God knows. And God has plans that we sometimes struggle with. A very humble servant of God that I know once said that he seriously doubts that God ever uses anyone in a very great way if he has not first wounded that one very deeply. Think about that. Those really are the ones that ultimately end up trusting and working and doing amazing things for God after they've been deeply wounded. Oswald Chambers, I'm not sure how familiar you folks are with him, he wrote a book called My Utmost for His Highest, and one of the sections in it he called Mastery in Circumstances, and he based it on Paul's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 area. This passage is the Apostle Paul's spiritual diary. It describes the outward hardships which prove the hotbed for the graces of the Spirit, the working together of outward hardships and inward grace. You've been asking the Lord to give you the graces of the Spirit, and then some set of circumstances has come and given you a sharp twinge. And you say, well, I have asked God to bring out in me the graces of the Spirit, but every time the devil seems to get the better of me. Have you ever thought that? Perhaps what you are calling the devil is the very thing God is using to manifest the graces of the Spirit in you. The worker learns the secret of the campfires where he can sit back and recount with other Christians the great hours when the Son of God walked with him in the fiery furnace. The fiery furnaces are there by God's direct permission. It is misleading to imagine that we are developed in spite of our circumstances. We are developed as Christians because of them. It is mastery in circumstances that is needed, not mastery over them. It is mastery in the circumstances that is needed, not mastery over them. We have to manifest the graces of the Spirit of God among things as they are and not wait for the millennium. So if you're really in love with Him, you will work it out on a daily basis in your life, regardless of what you have to deal with for the rest of your life. If I'm really in love with Him, I will work out on a daily basis in my life for the rest of my life. The Christian life is not a battle sometimes. The evil one makes sure it is a battle all the time. Sin, our flesh, and the evil one are constantly working to make sure of it. So, how big is your God? We can ask this question in four ways. Think about emphasis on the words here. How big is your God? He's not a small or large statue of gold and silver or brass. How big is your God? He has existed in all eternity past and eternity future. He is. How big is your God? Are you really yielded to Him? Have you accepted Him as personal Savior and Lord, genuinely? How big is your God? Do you know the true God of creation? Do you put your emphasis on big is your or God? The God of all eternity is there to cling to no matter what. Don't ever forget that. No matter what He allows you to go through, the pain, the frustration, the loss, whatever it might be, remember He's working you through the circumstances that He's using to build into you what He knows you're capable of, what He can use you to do. It's a scary thought at sometimes when you think about it, but He's still there. He's taking you through those things. He's not dumping you into the middle of them and walking away. We have an awesome God. How big is your God tonight? How big are you letting Him be in your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. You've been so gracious to us time after time after time. When we've struggled, when we've failed to acknowledge You, when we've not taken time to say, Father, help me. Help me with this struggle. Direct me with Your word. Show me what You have for me in dealing with whatever You've brought into my life at this time. Thank You, Father, for the privilege of being together again this evening and opening Your word. Thank You for so great salvation. Bless each one now as they head out into the darkness and home and the future You have for each one of us. In the Savior's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life.
Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.